Thank you, everybody. Has it? I'm reading from the English Standard Version, maybe a little bit different from the version you have in your hand or on your device, but we'll understand that the words mean the same, usually about 99% of the time. Amen. Let's read. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, or brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our service. The one who teaches, in his teachers. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and we certainly ask for blessing to all of the hearers and doers of the word of God. Because doing comes along with hearing. Amen. Hearing does not profit us until we put it in our doing. This morning, we continue our series that we call Generous, Celebrating God's Generosity. All right. Today's message is entitled Generosity Unwrapped. Generosity Unwrapped. Listen. I didn't have time to wrap and give. I was going to try to do it, but I wanted to put down some final points. So what I need somebody to do. Go out to the Christmas tree. Bring me a small gift. Just one small gift. Amen. And bring it carefully. Just in case there's something. We don't want to mess up nobody. Just bring it carefully. Don't throw it at each other and pass it like football. Just bring it carefully. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're coming with you. Don't be reading the name on it. Come on with you. Boy, I tell you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we don't know whose gift this is. We're going to put it back out there in a second. But, you know, another thing we don't know is what it is.
Yes, right.
And so keep that in mind. I'm going to get a little further off in the sermon. We'll come back to that. Listen. God has given us a number of gifts because he's a generous God. Amen. Just to look up into the sky of the night and see all the wonders of stars, that's a gift. Amen. To look around and see all the beautiful colors in nature, that's a gift. Amen. If you're on a beach and you look out over the ocean and see sunsets and sunrises, those can also be gifts. So God has given us a number of gifts because he's a generous God. Also, but I want to talk to you about just a couple of gifts. Number one, it talks about in the same book of Romans, amen, the gift in Romans 6:23, another gift, it says the wages of sin is death.
Right.
That's bad news.
Yes, sir.
Amen, because we have all committed sin, and therefore the penalty for committing sin or the fine for committing sin is death. But I'm glad Romans 6:23 did not stop there. But it goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Isn't that a blessing? So now, and some people miss this. Eternal life is a gift of God. We think that eternal life, or spending eternity with God, comes from being earned. Comes from something we do. Something we accomplish. How good we are. Hoping that God grades on a curve. Amen. We think that's how we deserve, or how we obtain eternal life, by, amen, doing more good than we've done bad. But this here, the scripture says in Romans 6:23 that it is a gift. I don't know who gift that is, but it would be a shame. It would be a shame that whenever that person gets that gift, whoever they found out that gave it to them, amen, and you get the gift, you look at it, and it's something that you like, and then that person comes to you later. He gave you a gift. Amen. And that person comes to you later. We get to say, "Will Roy, since he bought the gift in here." And he comes to you later. And he says, "You know that gift I gave you? That gift cost $10.95. Can I get my money back?" If he asks you for his money back, it's not a gift. Are you paying for it? Amen. Some of us treat eternal life like that. Amen. God says it's a gift. We try to earn it by being good enough, by accomplishing things. Amen. You can't earn it. All you can do is receive it. Yes. Because it's something that God gives to us all. And we just by faith said, "God, I believe that you died for my sins on Calvary cross. And you forgave me of my sins. You forgave me of my past sins. You're forgiving me of my present sin, and you will forgive me of all the sins I committed in the future. They're all under your blood when you died on Calvary. But not only are you forgiving me, but you're doing something inside of me." Because some people say, "Well, if you forgive your past, present, future sin, you can just live any kind of way." Oh, no. Because as he forgives you, he also gives you his spirit. He gives you another gift, his Holy Spirit, that lives inside of you. Yes. And that's the thing, amen, that keeps you doing the right thing. Because when you step outside of the line, something bothers you as a believer on the inside that makes you come back to the will of God. His spirit convicts you and says, "That's not who you are. You've been adopted. You're a child of God. This is not the way you should act." Amen. And the Holy Spirit continues to bring you back, because when you're outside of God's will, there is a loss of joy that summons you back to God and says something is wrong. So it's a gift. And I hope that if you have not unwrapped that gift this morning of eternal life, that you will accept it and unwrap it and make it yours this morning. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But that same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us gives us what we call gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about. Those gifts of the Spirit are God's generosity. One way that God shows his generosity to his church is through the gift of the Spirit. But you'll never know how generous God is to his church. And the church will never be able to benefit from those gifts until you unwrap the gift. Can't benefit from it. Whatever it is, amen. Suppose whoever bought this knife, it's a short rap knife. Sometimes rapping will fool you, though. But it's sure in a rap knife. You know, maybe probably call that knife. They probably spent, you know, I think, what about 11 or 15? They probably spent, oh, we're close to that. at $15. So, you know, and some gift you can be way more than that. Somebody just saw a need. A lot of times with people, real gift givers, they'll know the person they give the gift to, and they'll know what that person needs. And sometimes, even though what that person needs may be something that they really have to sacrifice to give,
all right,
but because of their love for the person, they're willing to make that sacrifice. So you get a gift like that and say, I know this person really needs this. Maybe they need it for school, or maybe they need it for college, or maybe they just need it to survive. I know this is something that's really going to be a beneficial, it's going to be a blessing to this person's life. This is something I know because I've just seen that this is something they really, really, really need. And you gift it to them and you wrap it up real nice like this. And you give it to them because you know it's going to be a blessing and just what they need. And you give it to them. And they say, oh, yeah, thank you so much for this gift. And next Christmas, you go visit them. And you look up under the tree. And that same gift that you sacrificed for and that you knew was going to be a blessing. And that you looked around and you went to 3 miles and you parked on the curb, risked being told off, went through the crowd, stood in line on Black Friday. Amen. You finally got that gift and you was all ready to give it to them and you just couldn't wait. And you've been wondering why they ain't saying anything about it. Because it's a year later that it hasn't been opened. Wouldn't that be kind of ridiculous? A year later and the gift has not been unwrapped. Because most of us, most of us like to be there when they unwrap. Because we want to see the joy and the expression on their face. Because with their joy, gives us joy. But it's a year later and the gift is...
My Lord.
We think that today. Oh man, how ridiculous is that? I could have just waited till the crowd died down. I could have waited till after the cripple sang. They got it cheaper.
Come on, man.
Come on. Imagine that, because we said it's so ridiculous. But you know what we've done? We've done the same thing to the spiritual gifts that God has given to the church. They've just been sitting around and we haven't unwrapped. God gave gifts, the Holy Spirit, and God gives gifts to his church, spiritual gifts, to make the church better. They're for the benefit of the church. And we haven't unwrapped them.
Come on.
They just sit in the pews Sunday morning. God's been generous and has generously gifted us with spiritual gifts that we can leave wrapped up. And then we wonder, why hasn't the church progressed? Because we haven't unwrapped God's generosity. That's kind of what I want to talk about. Now, don't get the gifts of the Spirit mixed up with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, self-control, kindness, and gentleness, and peace, and joy. Don't get those things mixed up with the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit is alive. Fruit is alive. Everybody has love. If you've got the fruit, you don't have love, you don't have peace, and you don't have joy, you don't have kindness, and gentleness, and self-control, and you don't have all those things. Amen. Some more that are on that list of 9 of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But now, our gifts are different. Amen. We'll talk about that. And So, you've got gifts of the Spirit, and you've got fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is important. Now, just because you have gifts of the Spirit don't mean you are mature.
Okay.
I'm going to have to talk about this for a little bit. Just because you have the gift of the Spirit doesn't mean that you are mature as a Christian. There are immature Christians. Christians that do all kinds of crazy stuff that have the gift of the Spirit. He wrote to the book of 1 Corinthians. They were a very immature church. All kinds of stuff was going on. People were sleeping with the in-laws. All kinds of stuff was going on in the Corinthian church. They got drunk coming to communion. All kinds of stuff was going on in the Corinthian church. Amen. It was just, but they had more gifts than anything. But they did not have the fruit. You need both the gift and the fruit. Because sometimes if you don't have the fruit, people won't accept your gift. You can have a gift to be immature and crazy. But if you ain't got the fruit, you ain't got love, joy, peace, kind, self-control, meekness. If you ain't got those kinds of fruit, people are suspect of your gift. What do you mean? I can't receive a gift from somebody I don't believe in. Because I don't know what it might be. I don't know what it might be. I got to have trust and faith in you. Amen. Because they don't tell you what you done said. Amen. They don't tell you what might be. I was thanking. But that might be one that's still wrapped up next year. Because I can't even read it. You know, some gifts, you know, I can't even have a read it to somebody. But if it's somebody you don't trust, especially if they done bought you something, you know, that you have to eat.
All right.
Well, I'm not going to. I sure appreciate this. I'm saying I appreciate the fact that you love me enough, if you do love me, to bring. But if I don't trust you, I can't. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. Amen. So listen, if you have the gift of the Spirit, it's more, even more important that you have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is character. The gift of the Spirit is character. Or something like a talent. Let me use me for an instant. I have to give them spirit, but if I had, even with my gifts, if I had bad character, and it was bad stuff always being written, every time you look at the Manhattan News, pastor did something else wrong.
All right.
Y'all wouldn't be here today. I might have the same gifts.
Right.
But you know, he said he did this, he did that. They done arrested him for this. He done got caught with that. Oh, how are you going to tell us?
Right.
I'm not going to sit down and listen to him.
Right. Amen.
Look at all this stuff he knows.
Amen.
So, your character causes people to be receptive to your gifts.
Amen.
You need both of them. You need both the gifts of the Spirit along with the fruit of the Spirit. Just before I get right into this, we want to look at, it's something called, well, turn, if you got your Bible, turn Ephesians 2:10. You already, Ephesians 2:10. I want to look at Ephesians 2:10 because it's important. If you don't have your Bible, then write it down and look at it when you get home. So I know sometimes y'all used to the outline, so you may have a kind of dependent on it. Ephesians 2:10. Let me get to it and read it for you right quick. Trying to move through it because our kids got a presentation today. I don't want to take too long. This is what it says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. The word workmanship in the original language of the Bible, which means poema, which means we are a work of art. We are God's work of art. We are God created us. You know, like, think about a work of art, a sculpture.
Yes.
And a person that's an artist shaping that sculpture.
Yes.
Sculpture. That's what this is saying, because God has shaped us.
Yeah.
And what has he shaped us for? In that same, in Ephesians 2:10, listen, listen. Let me get back to the verse 10. Oh, here it is. For we are his workmanship. We are that sculpture that he has shaped, created for Christ Jesus for good works. We've been shaped to do good works. Y'all got that?
Yes.
That's important. We have been shaped to do good work. There's a work. There's something that God shaped you for. You got a special shape. Ain't nobody shaped like you.
Come on.
Your shape is unique. Like your fingerprints are unique. Like each flake of snow is unique.
Yes.
There's nobody that God created that's like you.
Right.
And that's what makes you valuable, because originals are always better. Mm-hmm. Copies are cheap. But originals are valuable.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You get an original, amen, painting. Michelangelo, oh, it's different quality something. But now you get a little print. You can get a little print for cheap.
Yes.
Stop being copies. Stop trying to be like somebody else.
Amen.
Be the original that God created you to be. Because you have been shaped in particular for a particular good work on earth.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You have been shaped, is what Rick Warren says, because there's a couple of these ideas I got from him. You've been shaped to make a difference. I put it like this. You've been shaped to make a supernatural difference.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen. Come on now.
Now, shape is an acronym. Got your pencils out, because you may want to write this. SHAPE. SHAPE is an acronym. Each letter in SHAPE stands for something. S, spiritual view. That's what I'm going to be talking about for the next few minutes. Spiritual view. H, heart. Heart. What do you have a heart for? What do you have a passion for? He gives you a spiritual gift, he also gives you passion and a heart for things. A, abilities. P, personality. And E, experience. S, I'm going back to the top. S, spiritual gifts. H, heart. A, abilities. P, personality. E, experiences. God gives us all those things to shape us. Y'all with me? So we can do the work that he thought about beforehand. Before he created the world, he already had decided to shape you a certain way. He has a masterpiece, the master shape you a certain way so you can make a supernatural difference in the world. So that's why your experiences are important. Even if they're negative experiences, God is using them so that you'll be able to impact your work. We get to all that some other time. The main one we'll talk about today is those spiritual gifts. Because that's what we got to, that's what I want you to unwrap and see God's generosity in giving us his spiritual gifts. First, When I say unwrap them, I mean you have to determine what your spiritual gift is. There's a list of them. There's spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, Romans, what we're looking at today, Ephesians 4, and I think 1 Peter 4. There's about 3 or 4 lists. None of these lists are exhausted. None of these lists have all the spiritual gifts. They may be spiritual gifts that are not even listed in these gifts. But these are some. What is your spiritual gift? Now, you got a computer, write this down. So I'm going to give you a way, one way of finding, maybe determining what your spiritual gift is. Free ShapeTest.com. That's what you got to go. You got to go on your computer. Free, F-R-E-E, Shape, S-H-A-P-E, one with this dumb, test.com. That's one of the reasons we want to test. It's about 70, it's going to ask you about 70 questions. You don't have to write them out. You just put it like, you're going to say something, you got to put it like, you be 5 choices, whether you strong, you do this all the time or never. Sort of like that. So you can go through them. I think I went through them less than 5 minutes. Free shape test. So if you want to kind of know what your spiritual gift is, get on a computer, you don't have a computer, go to the library. You don't have a computer, you don't want to go to the library. One Sunday this past, and I do it on your computer. I do it on the computer. I think I do it on the computer. Free shape, and it's going to tell you what the spiritual gift is. Now look at some of them right here in Romans. Six. Have we given that gift according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy. Prophecy is gift. It's speaking forth. Speaking forth the word of God. Service or help is to call it some. It's just doing acts of service. Teaching, that's, you know, it's actually what it says, teaching. Exhort means like counseling. Correcting. You exhort, a good way to say exhort is you counseling or encouraging somebody. And they counseling or encouragement all sometimes has some correction in it. You're trying to, something you're going in the wrong direction, you need to correct. That's kind of what that exhortation is. And then you talk about contributing with the generosity giving, and then leadership, and then mercy. That's when mercy is people with the gift of mercy, you're always thinking about the less fortunate. You're thinking about the people that are, you know, people in prison that are innocent. You think about the homeless. You think about the homeless. You got to give them mercy. Now, I took that same test so I can, you know, see what I'm supposed to be. It's kind of new. And it's going to give you your top three. It's going to give you your top three areas. My main area, number one area, is teaching. That's number one area gave me. I got 100% on teaching. Amen. That was the number one. Second, which was kind of surprise, prophecy. But prophecy is like speaking forward where prophecy is basically preaching. That's what it is. In the context, now some would interpret that differently. But I think I know the people that Rick Warren, I know what he was meant by this. It means speaking for the preacher. So probably teaching than preaching. And the last one was pastor. So I think we're pretty accurate. pretty accurate in the way he used that text. So I just wanted to see how accurate it was. Okay, so those are the things. That's what I'm doing this morning. All right. So find out what the gift is. Then, amen, you got to find a place to use it. So find out what your gift is. You got to unwrap it, though. You got to determine what it is. And then sometimes if you don't, not only because sometimes tests may not work out right, because see, you got to be real honest on these tests.
Yes. Right.
And if you're not honest, it's going to tell you something you're not.
Yeah, that's right.
Because sometimes your answer, I have to fight against this temptation. You answer the question with the way you want to be, not the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, I want to be that. So you get yourself high. You know you ain't never did that. You wish you did it. That's why you want to answer. But you know you ain't never did that. You got to be brooding on, wait a minute. I would like to be that, but that ain't me.
Yeah.
So sometimes. But now another way, not only do that, but sometimes you just ask the people around you.
That's true.
Hey, man, at church, they kind of tell you, hey, you good at this. They tell you two or three things that I think you're good at this right here. Or they invite you to do something. Because I remember I had been in church a year, maybe a year and a half. But I was at Sunday school, make sure I was at Sunday. And then one day my teacher asked me to teach the class. I'm real shocked. You want me to stand in front of me? I'm teaching the youth class, I'm a youth. I'm 18, 19, and I'm teaching, you know, people like 40, 50, 60, up to my age. I said, I just want to be a teacher. Fuck up, I just want to see, because, you know, I'm going to be out a week or two, and I just want to, I need my son. You know, it's not old people, been in church long.
Why
me? And then I got, she gave me the job. She gave me the job of being a teacher primer. And then I went from being a Sunday school teacher to being, because I used to show up for class. So all the class I was in, I ended up being a teacher. So first I was a Sunday school teacher, then I was a band class teacher. Just pretty soon, you know, especially after I started what college preached, I became the minister of Christian education. Because somebody started to get. So you need to uncover. Because if you don't unwrap your gift, you just sitting there in the pews and your gift is wasted.
Yeah.
We need your gift. Amen. Every Christian has one gift.
Amen.
Some have more. Some have gift packages.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You got gift packages. Because those gifts, they usually give you gifts that work together. So you got gift packages. Now the difference between being having a spiritual gift and doing something is a supernatural power that God adds on to. See, in myself, if I were teaching the Bible and I didn't have the spiritual gift to teach it, you would get information.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
But when you teach the scripture and you got the gift, you call transformation.
All right. Amen. All right. Amen.
Because there's an anointing on it.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So you just don't get information. You get transformation. That's why we need your gift. Because there's a lot of things that we do here at Bethsaida. We don't just come to church on Sunday.
Right.
We're involved in a whole lot of things and we need your gift. I'm just trying to, like Cher has a gift, they go up there. Now, in my teaching, I try to tell you don't do this. Don't do this. If you do this, you're going to mess up your life.
Right.
You're going to really mess it up, baby. That's my role. But now, if you didn't listen to me, when I said you're going to mess it up, baby, and you go out and mess up your life, baby,
right,
I'm probably not the person you need to come to. You need to come to the person that God takes to share who's in the correct.
Right.
She can tell you how to get back on the right track. That's why we make a good team. I'm saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Please don't do it. It's a better way. But once you do it and you says, I'll mess up, I don't know if I can help you. You need to go talk to Sarah, maybe she can help you. The gift. The gift. When my brother Harvey, he had to give the hospitality because he knew how to make enemies. You just feel welcome when you was around him.
Yes, amen.
You feel welcome, especially. Everybody got gifts. Everybody got gifts. Amen. Brother Ernie. Brother Ernie got the gift of outreach. He got, you know, he got to work on it. He got that outreach. Because he always trying to talk to people that talk to people, reach out to people that don't know Christ. Now, I'm probably not, I'm a preacher, so I'm better talking to crowds that are at church or crowds that are assembled. But if you're under a tree, if people are under a tree with a beard, they don't have to send Ernie, because he's better.
Right.
If you're under a tree with a beard or under a tree that got the joint, then I got to send
him.
Ernie, you might need to go ahead and see what you can do with it. But, you know, I'm too formal. They need somebody in them. Because not only do you have a spirit gift, but you got the experience.
Yeah.
You got the S-N-E. Because you had the experience. And then you got the personality. You got everything that fits.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So you talk, you know, you know how to talk, hang out with them, because you.
Right. Amen.
And your B.C.
Right.
And to the B.C. before Christ.
Right.
And they'll listen to you. Because they see the change where you were and where you are now.
Yes. Yes.
God gave earnest to the church to make the church better and the community better.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
But if he never unwraps that gift,
yes.
Then somebody going that he could have got from under the tree.
Yes, yes.
It's still under the tree.
My God.
Y'all with me? Secondly, now I'm going to move quickly. After you've determined what the gift is, you got to develop it. He told, Paul tell Timothy to stir up the gift. You got, you got to keep it at full flame. You got, sometimes you need to be discipled in your gift. Get around people that got the same gift.
Yeah.
See, your gift will get you in the room. Your gift gets you in the room. Where you go in the room, when people got your same gift. But what keeps you in the room is listening to the people that got your gift.
All right.
And you grow. If you don't listen to people that's got your same gift, you'll leave the room on your own.
Yes, sir.
Because you'll get discouraged. I got to be in the room with the people that got my same gift. Because they say, yeah, we understand what it is to teach a pastor proclaim. We understand this is what you have to go through. This is where you deal with this kind of situation. This is where you deal with that kind of situation. So I have to be in that room, because when we're all in that room, we keep, it's like the fireplace, when all the embers are together, the fire keeps hot.
Yeah.
But you move one out,
right.
It's going to go out.
Yes, sir.
The reason why sometimes, amen, you got a gift, but you know, I'm using my gift, and you can begin to get cold in your gift,
yeah.
Because you're not around people that got that same gift that can develop you.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why I go to the conferences. That's why I go to the seminar. That's why I go to the workshop. Because I got to be around people that got the same gift.
Yes.
Because when I come away full flame.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Steph, what they talking about? He said, Timothy, I see your gift dying down. You need to go and stir. You know, like when your fireplace didn't go out, I mean, when you burn the wood.
Right.
You can't do this if you got an air conditioner in the city. You got air conditioning. But when you got a fireplace, after a while, it's going to die down. And you got to get in there and stir it up. Therefore, Timothy, you got to stir up the gift. It's dying down. I want it to die down. That's why you begin to get that spirit of fear. You got to stir up the gift. You got to develop it. Get around people that can tell you, yeah, do this and do that. Work on it. In fact, when you open the box, it is a bunch of parts. And you better have somebody instruct you. That's what a disciple is. You got everything you need for your gift to work, but this is how you put it together.
Right.
This assembly required.
Yes.
So get, I got to give a mercy, now how can I do it? That'd be an idea. Well, you know, won't you work with the mobile food pantry?
Right.
Because you're going to love that.
Yes.
And then you develop that gift. And then you start coming with ideas, you know. Mobile food pantry, good, and everything's good, but I want to do this.
Right.
Pastor, can we? Oh, yeah, y'all. If it's a good idea, because you're going to serve that gift, though.
Okay.
And it's something to bless the church and bless the community. Stir up the gift. Develop the gift. So that you determine what the gift is, and then you develop it.
Amen.
Stir it up. Make it full flame. Be excited and enthused. You got to get around people that have that same enthusiasm and excitement about that gift.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm around preaching, boy, we get to preaching to each other. Amen. So we get excited. And you know, when we preach, you know, when you back up and then we'll come in here and preach a little while. Or you get to speak, but be good.
Right, right.
The same thing. Yeah, I probably just do the same thing. I want everybody to do the same thing.
Right, right.
Stirring up that gift. That's why I so appreciate it. I realize I can't develop my gift if it wasn't for my wife, who supports me to the point that she's willing to go out of the home and bring in extra income so I can have the freedom to develop my gift. And you as a church are willing to support me financially so I can have the freedom to develop my gift. I can have the freedom to spend a long time with God pleading for understanding of certain passages, certain words, certain ideas and parables. It takes time to do that.
Yes.
And it's hard to do that when you are bivocational. But when you're free to attend and get it's so much better. I thank her and I thank you, amen, for giving me that opportunity. Because I couldn't be it without you. And that's the way we want to support everybody. That got, if you got a gift, we want to do our best to support you in developing that gift.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need to go somewhere, you go to God, Pastor, I think I got this gift. I said, oh, yeah, I kind of see that too. I may not say that right, but I want to say it too quick. I don't like to give people their gifts too quick, or you'll get proud. If you know your gift too quick, sometimes it'll puff you up. Maybe you want to go to this, or I might give you a book to read, or I might give you a conference or a workshop to go to. Some of you can develop your gift. And the church will pay for it because you bring it. It is for the church. It's for the church. Now, they used to have associations where church has some. They still have some where they have associations and they have conventions. Now, those were supposed to be places to stir up your gift. But they became a place to take up offerings.
I
didn't mean to say that, but I'm. If you don't get stirred up, you don't get developed, you don't get encouraged. All you get to give is an offering for the head.
That's why we're not in one. Because
you're getting an offering for the head of the organization, and sometimes the head shouldn't be. Because even though they may have gifts that say they need to be the head, but they ain't got character.
Right.
All right. That's enough of that. Lastly, you determine your gift. You develop your gift. You got to deploy your gift. And like you deploy a soldier, you put them on there where they can go ahead and do their job. You got to start using it. You got to start using it. Because if you don't use it, anything might be the thing that whoever this person is may need the most. But if they never use it, amen, it's not going to be helpful. It may be a student English. Maybe some kind of thing that help you with English, or some kind of device, or some kind of book that will really help you with all, know where commas go, and verbs, and different between verbs and nouns. But if you get that, because somebody in the college, no, you need it. I don't know. That may be what I get. Somebody know what, they know you need it, and you get it, and you never use it. You never pass it on. God gave you and blessed you. You never pass. Use the gift. We got to use because it makes it enriches the whole church when you use your gift. Your gift is not for you, it's for the church and for the community.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Yeah.
The worst way you can use your gift is use your gift for yourself. And sometimes it will make the church. People turn from the church because people using their gift for their own popularity, for their own profit. The profit for, you know, you can make profit with your right gift or your popularity or power. You use it for something that's going to make, give you profit, give you power, give you popularity. Give you the opportunity to be a predatory. Take advantage of people financially or sexually. You don't use your gift for that. You use your gift to make the church to do supernatural transformation in the body, and then the body goes out and transforms the community. Well, let me close. We can get the kids. Lastly, after you determine your spiritual gift, you develop your spiritual gift, you've deployed your spiritual gift, and I think this is what it's all about. You can delight in your spiritual gift. You haven't really lived like God. You haven't really experienced an abundant life and lived until you find out what you've been shaped for.
Yeah.
Once you find out what you've been shaped for, and you deploy that thing, God shaped me for this. This is the purpose God put me on earth. This is why he put me on the planet. He shaped me to do this. When you are doing what God shaped you to do, you'll get a joy that's unbelievably like nothing you've never experienced before. Because you found out where it was, your place, where he shaped you to be.
Yes,
that's where your joy comes from.
Joy.
Doing that thing that God just from eternity just said, alright, you're going to be there. I'm going to shape you for that. And when you find out, when you unwrap it and find out what you've been shaped to do, and you start doing that thing, you have a joy by seeing how it impacts other people's lives. Joy that money can't buy, stuff can't buy. You can't get from having a good car, pretty house. That you can't get from chasing skirts or bank accounts. Unbelievable, because you can get it even when things are not going perfectly. Even when you may not have a whole lot of money in the bank account. Even when things are not perfect because you're living in the perfect world, but you still got a jaw on the inside because you know what you've been shaped for and you're doing what you've been shaped.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, thank you.
Oh. I like people. They do what they've been shaped for. Because, you know, they'll do it for free. They'll do it for free. You know, I think, you know, Maxine been shaped. She's been shaped. Being here, man, I'm just being here. Because when she first got done, she didn't get paid.
Amen.
Then one day, you know, God blessed her, so we blessed her.
Yeah.
We blessed her.
Yeah.
But she would have kept on doing it for free. when something's shameful, people don't have to pay.
Amen.
Because just doing it, pay enough.
You're right, sir, you're right.
I preach if I didn't get paid.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, may not be as effective because I couldn't get the other stuff that makes the balance it. And I may not have time to do something I want to do to bring you the best word that I can, but I still preach for when I came here, I'm preaching for free.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Oh yeah, I got a little something. I got $50 for it.
All right.
I was blessed to get 50. I would have came if they didn't give me the 50, but I was happy to give it. And I got $18 on Thursday.
Right.
We had 200 church back then. I got $18, and if it was a real good Thursday, Sunday, I might get 25.
Come on now.
Right. But I tithe. Once I paid for tithe and paid for gas, paid for cleaning, I'm really coming for free.
Amen.
And then I car broke down, I had to rent a car.
Right.
And then when I couldn't afford to rent a car, I had to ride the bus. Mm-hmm. And stay at a hotel, I had to pay for that.
Amen.
And get here at 4 o'clock in the morning, take the hotel. And then they came and picked me up by the time Sunday. By the time I paid for my bus fare and my hotel, I'm kind of paying to come preach.
Amen.
But I love it. This is what God made me for.
Yes, amen.
This is what God made me for. Now, as the church got better, y'all begin to bless me more and more. I appreciate that. Because y'all have to do it. People don't have to be nice.
It's true.
They don't have to be kind. They don't have to be generous. So when they argue, thank you. But when you got the gift, then you'll do it for free. A lot of you that make this church run, that's vital. You play a vital role to this church.
Yes.
You don't ask for nothing.
Yes.
And sometimes even when we offer you something, because we know you're going through.
Yes.
I mean, we know you're going through. We got to help you out. Oh, no, I'm amazing. I'm all right.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
We got the gift. Sometimes the ministers get paid when they every time they preach. Our ministers don't. Because I don't want them to think that preaching is just a paycheck.
Amen.
Just a way to get paid. I want them to use their gift because it's just they give and need to
be true. Yes, thank you.
But we do bless them at the end. Too blessed time at the end of the year. Just because I'm blessed them so they can go out and develop their gifts.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the money. Go out and develop your gifts. We just thank you for being so appreciative. But there's no joy. Because you know you're doing with God. Mm-hmm. And I'm closing with this. I'm closing with this last illustration. About 2 minutes. Irv Liddell was a runner. He ran in the Olympics. And they were talking about his gift. They were telling him one day he refused to run because he didn't believe you ought to have to run on Sunday. And it was on Sunday that I can't run. Even though I'm getting medals, but I'm not going to run because he's not going to run. But he still somehow worked it out. And he was able to run and won gold medals. And this is what he says. He says, I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. When you find out what God made you for, when you do that thing, you feel like God is pleased with you. That's why you joy. Because you feel like God is pleased with you. God is pleased with you because when you do what he gave you to do, it's just like when a person opens up that gift and find out what they've been looking forward to, and then you see that smile come on their face. That's what God is when we use our gift. He sees a smile coming on you, your face when you're teaching or when you're preaching or when you're doing things of mercy or encouraging or helping out in some role in the church.
and he see you smiling about it, and God said, he see you enjoying your gift, because that would give a gift giver joy. When he see that the gift he's giving you, you open up, you get joy. Yeah, I knew that was the right thing. I knew she was going to like that. I knew he was going to like that. And you got joy from seeing your smile. It's like that parent that sees the kids smile when they wake up on Christmas morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get joy from their joy. You feel God's place when they use their gift. This is going to come down. But I want to tell you, if you have an unwrapped, see, some of you still need to unwrap that eternal life gift. I want to give you the opportunity this morning.
Yes.
Maybe you have, you already have eternal life. He's given you the acceptance that you unwrap. But you need to unwrap your spiritual gift wherever you are. You say, you need to make that commitment. God, I'm sorry, unwrapping. I'm going to see why you put me here. But you put me here. I'm going to unwrap my gift. I don't want it. Next year, when it comes Christmas time, you still up under the tree. You got a gift for me. Something I can do in your body. Or work I can do in your body. Is it hospitality? Is it help now? Is it serve?